beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in any water, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and not showing mercy unto thousands of them, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. A survey was taken several years ago about Americans. Most Americans, 93%, say that they alone decide moral issues. They base their decisions on their own experience or whims. 84% say they would break the rules of their own religion. 81% have violated a law they felt to be inappropriate. Only 30% say that they would be willing to die for their religious beliefs or for God. In chapter 20 of Exodus, we have one of the greatest events in the history of Israel taking place, and perhaps in the history of all mankind. It is the giving of the Ten Commandments. And we're going to take a survey of them over the next few weeks, looking at them. We did this a few years back, but I think it's appropriate now to go over it again, as even within the last few years, we've seen Western society become even more and more decadent. And unfortunately, we are not far behind as believers. And that's a problem. With respect to the Bible, what is the law? Well, you could say it in several different ways. One way is expressed is this way. The law is the expression of the mind of God relative to what man ought to be. And as we look at the law, there is no grace or mercy in it. The law is the law. There are no gray areas. There are no exceptions. The law is the law. And so the law is an expression of the holy will of God. Now, it's not just the letter of the law, but the spirit or the intent of the law. And the law's intent and spirit was to produce holiness in the life of a believer. Did you catch that? The life of a believer. Because the law keeping the law cannot save anybody. The law is not to bring people to Jesus in the sense that by keeping the law that they will get saved. But what does the law require of you and me? You know what the law requires, basically? Perfection. Perfection. James 2:10. The Lord's brother wrote these words, For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. You may say, well, that's just a little thing. But all of a sudden, you and I have become under the whole penalty of the law. Now, I don't know about you. I have never met anybody who has kept all of the law. Now, I've witnessed to people who say, you know, I live by the Ten Commandments. But if you start questioning about some of the things about the Ten Commandments, they realize they haven't kept the Ten Commandments. And so it's not some vague notion. And it does not have anything to do with good intentions. The law requires perfect obedience. Because you remember what the scripture says, for the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. And so the law of the Lord is right. It is the standard of righteousness. In Beirut one night, the Muslims put on a banquet for the hostages in a luxury hotel on the Mediterranean. The people threatening to kill them if the United States didn't bow down were treating them kindly. And so a number of the hostages expressed sympathy for their viewpoints. This writer continues on, what do you find happening in the church today? People make apologies for the world. Well, the world is good. Don't condemn this, don't condemn that. Don't be negative. What a beautiful phrase that is. How good that makes you feel. I'm not going to be a negative Christian. Well, you better be negative about sin. You better be negative about adultery and thievery and lying and dishonesty and taking God's name in vain. The Ten Commandments were not 10 suggestions abrogated with the new generation. They're God's law. We're being seduced by the apparent kindnesses around us. And so the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is right. It is God's standard of righteousness. Another writer had these words, our notions of right and wrong are colored by an environment and by the fact we have a fallen nature. The law is a revelation of God. God has drawn the line between right and wrong. How do you know what is right? God tells us what is right. This present generation wants freedom so badly, is questioning what is right. Why is it wrong to steal, they ask. They do not mind stealing. But they like the commandment, thou shalt not kill, because they say it's wrong for the government to commit murder by executing criminals. Now, so we're looking in Exodus chapter 20 at what's known as the Ten Commandments. Literally, it's the 10 words. And it can be divided into two parts. There is, in verses 2 through 11, what would be called the vertical section of the Ten Commandments. And so those first four commandments pertain to the relationship of man to God. And then verses 12 through 17 would be more or less horizontal. That is, those last six deal with social relationships in the community. There was a man by the name of Douglas Taylor Weiss, who was the rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Dayton, Ohio. He has proposed a new set of Ten Commandments based on his observation of our culture. Commandment number one is, have a good day. Commandment number two is, shop. Commandment number three is, eliminate pain. Number four, be up to date. Number five is, relax. Number six is, express yourself. Number seven is, have a happy family. Number eight is, be entertaining. Number nine is, guess what? Be entertained. Number 10 is, somewhat related, buy entertainment. And then this writer says, that rector forgot number 11, which is, get in touch with your feelings. Now, are the Ten Commandments relevant? You know, we're getting a push more and more, even among evangelicals, that are saying, God's law isn't relevant for us today. We can do what we want because we have grace. But are they relevant? Well, the answer is yes. Ted Turner, several years ago, proclaimed himself as the news king, and he declared that the Ten Commandments were obsolete. And he, you remember, he's the creator of cable news network. And he told members of the National Newspaper Association in Atlanta that the biblical Ten Commandments do not relate to current global problems, such as overpopulation and the arms race. We're living without modeled rules, he says. The rules we're living under is the Ten Commandments. And I bet nobody here even pays much attention to them because they are too old. When Moses went up on the mountain, there were no nuclear weapons and there was no poverty. Today, the commandments wouldn't go over. Nobody likes to be commanded. Commandments are out. That's what he believes. He can believe what he wants, but the word of God is different. And what the world needs desperately is not for us to become so negative that we can't reach them, but they do need us who claim to be Christians to see the name and character displayed in our lives. And these commandments, and when you couple these commandments with the teachings of Jesus Christ, they are still the best guidelines for practical daily living known to humankind. That's it. One writer says, many people think they can break the Ten Commandments right and left and get by with it. That reminds me of the whimsical story of the man who jumped off the Empire State Building in New York City. As he went sailing by the 50th floor, a man looked out the window and said, "Well, how is it?" The falling man replied, "So far, so good." That is not where the law of gravitation enforces itself. 50 more floors down and the man will find out, "So far, not so good." And so, we're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. And we're going to look at that and try to apply it. And one of the things I will do is I'm going to try to change the thou shalt not to thou shalt. Okay? And so I'm just going to bow down to a little bit of the positivism that we have today. And so we will look at that and try to understand it and then apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We have it clearly here written down, your requirements of us. And then we have your love and grace in the cross. And we thank you. We thank you that none of us can be law keepers, but all of us are lawbreakers. And the one who was the law keeper, the lawgiver himself, came to this earth to die for us. And thank you for that. Yet, Lord, we still have a responsibility for the Ten Commandments, and all your commandments form principles of living so that we can be right with you and please you and reach out to a lost and dying world. So speak to us your truth today, Lord, and may we be listening. We thank you for all of it in your Son's name. Amen. What's the foundation of the Ten Commandments? Go back to Exodus with me. And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." The foundation of the Ten Commandments is found in that phrase, "I am the Lord thy God." The foundation is God himself. He based his commandments upon himself, who he is and what he is like. The very nature of God. Note those words used. "I am the Lord thy God." The word Lord, that has the idea of the self-existing one, emphasizes his power. It emphasizes his covenant-keeping ability. Then you have the word God. Okay, and that the word God emphasizes more of his power and strength. So how do you know the Ten Commandments are right? Well, because they come from God. Notice how he describes himself. "I am the Lord. I am the God who redeemed you." Now, what is he talking about when he says, "I am the God who redeemed you"? He's referring back to what just happened in the lives of the Israelites. The crossing of the Red Sea. The deliverance of Israel. The redemption found in the lamb sacrificed on the Passover. So this was a common theme when God was talking about redeeming his people from Egypt. It occurs throughout the Old Testament. And so it's a common theme. This bringing out was a release from captivity. And that's what redemption is all about. God says, I am giving you the law, my people, because I have redeemed you. I have bought you. I have freed you from slavery. And I'm giving you this law to point out your sin and showing you that you need me. Now, keep your finger in Exodus 20 and turn with me to 1 Timothy 9. Back in the New Testament towards the end, some of Paul's later writings, 1 Timothy 1:9. There aren't nine chapters in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. When I hear this paper start rustling, stop rustling, then we will read that. Notice what we have. Knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for the murderers, for the fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, notice this. If we lived in a society where everybody did right all the time, and no one ever did wrong, would we need any laws? No, we wouldn't. But because we have a tendency to do wrong, we need laws. And God gave laws to demonstrate that we are lawbreakers. Now, what he says here in these verses is that he designed the law to show people their sinfulness. You know, when you read the Ten Commandments, you know, and you read them honestly, do they sometimes not convict you of something that you've done? If you're honest, you would say yes. Because, you know, through every day we break one of them sometime or more. And so there is a correlation, and someone has noticed, between these verses and the Ten Commandments. Paul lists these different things, and this list begins with three pairs corresponding to the first table of the Ten Commandments, and those deal with offenses against God. The first pair is lawless and disobedient. Then you have the second pair, the ungodly and sinful, and then you have the unholy and profane. And then he goes on and he lists the violators of the five commandments of the second table of the Ten Commandments. Those who kill their fathers or mothers represent the ultimate violation of the fifth commandment. Murderers are the sixth. Adulterers and perverts pertain to the seventh commandment. And usually the seventh commandment was broadly interpreted to include all forms of sexual sin. Slave traders may correspond with the eighth commandment, since kidnapping was viewed as the ultimate act of stealing. Liars and perjurers pertain to the ninth commandment. Only the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet, it's not quoted directly, but Paul says, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, he's included everything. So he's talking about the Ten Commandments there in those verses. Now, does that sound negative? It certainly does. It does sound negative. Nearly all of the commandments are couched in a negative form of prohibition because they presuppose the existence of sin and evil desires in the human heart. One writer says this, the law never made a man a sinner. Do you realize that? The law doesn't make you a sinner. The law reveals the fact that man was a sinner. The law was given to bring a man to Christ, as we have seen. It was our schoolmaster to take us by the hand and lead us to the cross and tell us, little man, you need a savior because you are a sinner. Now, once a person becomes saved, As someone who is redeemed, the law shows God's expectations of the believer. It was given to people already saved, the law, to instruct us in the will of the Lord that we might fulfill God's purpose as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so the Ten Commandments are an excellent summary of 10 divine rules for human conduct. They might be called rules of religion, worship, reverence, time, authority, life, purity, property, tongue, and contentment. So let's go back and look at the first commandment as I started off. Notice what Moses has here as he's written for us as God directed. Verse 3 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, let me rephrase it with a positive tone, okay? You shall have me alone as your God. That's really what God is saying. I alone am to be your God alone. God is talking about worshiping false gods here. The first of the Ten Commandments to Israel was that they were to worship the one true God. What you remember right after the Ten Commandments were given, you know, Israel hadn't gotten them yet. What did Israel do while Moses was up on the mountain? Yes, they made the golden calf. You know, even before God gave them the law, they had already broken it by worshiping other gods. Now, worshiping other gods, these false gods, would be setting up rivals to God and thus rejecting his uniqueness. And so what God is condemning is polytheism. What's that? What does that mean? The worship of many gods. Okay, or the belief that there is more than one God. And so this commandment prohibits worshiping or honoring anything before God in thought or word or deed. And so what God is saying in this verse is that he is unique. Unique. There is only one God. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy says, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's interesting. The word Lord is singular. The word God is plural. But the word, and so the Lord our gods, speaking of the Trinity, is one Lord. There is one God, but he's the only God. Isaiah 44:8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 45:22-23. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee should bow and every tongue shall swear. Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Paul, writing in Ephesians, wrote these words, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One God. God is unique. And if anybody else is trying to worship another God, what God is saying, all the other so-called gods stand in opposition to the true God. And so any worship of false gods is incompatible with worship of the true God. We see even within some of the more liberal so-called Christian organizations a worship of Mother Earth. You'll see also what they've done is that the World Council of Christian Churches are becoming more and more open to Wiccan, you know, the witchcraft. And so you're having within that group many gods. But God says there is one God, and he's the only one to be worshipped. Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? But there is none on earth I desire besides thee. And this commandment we have here, thou shalt have no other gods before me, is in direct opposition to the lie of Satan in the garden. Did you realize that? You remember he told Eve, for God doth know that the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? Gods. Now, remember in Hebrew, the word God that we have in our language, it says Elohim. It's plural. And so you could probably translate this way, and you shall be as God. You shall be as God, knowing good and evil. What was the temptation in the garden? To have another God. The worship of man. We call it humanism. That was the temptation. And that's what attracted Eve. That she could make the rules. New Testament restates it this way. In Acts 14:15, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn away from these vanities unto the living God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the things that are therein. Worship God and God alone. Something else is implied in this commandment is this. Absolute loyalty to one God. The God of the Bible. Absolute loyalty. One writer wrote these words, therefore belief in and worship of other so-called gods is out of the question. Since God's character forms the basis of the covenant with his people, he demands absolute loyalty. And when the intent of the heart is to put God first, the person's outward actions will reveal it. Then others will see what God's character is like through the actions of his people. He says, no other gods before me. See those words, before me? Literally in the Hebrew, it says, before my face. That's what it says literally. Before my face. You know, if someone does, says something, see, like you're married and you're the husband and someone says something bad about your wife to your face, you get a little upset, right? Or maybe you're the wife and someone says something bad about your husband. Or you're the parents and someone says bad about your children. Or maybe they're children and someone says bad about your parents in front of your face. Doesn't that get you a little upset? Well, God says when a person worships another God before my face, I am upset. Before my face. It means in my presence or in opposition to me. The emphasis here before me is this. God is to be our first priority. That is, when there is a choice between God and your spouse, or God and your children, or God and your parents, or God and your boyfriend or girlfriend, or God and your job, or God and your personal comfort, or God and your desires, or God and your money, or God and your hobbies, or God and yourself, who gets the priority? What does God say? I get the priority. How serious is breaking this, of putting other gods before God? Well, in Exodus 22:20, we have these words. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. What's the penalty for breaking the first commandment? To die. The word destroy means to exterminate. Exterminate. By the way, did Israel obey this command? You look at the history of Israel before they were carried away from Babylon, and you will see time after time. You look in the book of Judges and in the historical books, they followed after other gods. And what did God do in response? Well, to the northern kingdom, the Assyrians took them away and scattered them about. And the southern kingdom of Judah, Babylon came and took them out. Because of their, one of the main reasons, as you read the scriptures, is their idolatry, which we'll be looking at, Lord willing, next week. So, if we choose to disobey what God says, if we place anything else before Him, what is the result going to be? Well, you have to fill in the blank. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, said this: "We stake the future of this country on our ability to govern ourselves under the principles of the Ten Commandments." Do you understand one of the main reasons why people, don't like Ten Commandments displayed publicly? What's the excuse they give? Separation of church and state, right? Yeah, and I agree with you. But they may use that. But you know what the real reason is? That's it. The Ten Commandments convict us of sin. And James Madison understood that. That once we move away from God's law, we move away from God. And we've opened the door of destruction to our country. And we've done that. And it's becoming, and we're going down the tube faster and faster. One writer had these words: "The new morality goes back before the giving of the law. In fact, it came right out of the Garden of Eden when man first disobeyed God. The new morality existed before the flood and after the flood. Today, it is far from new. If we love to think that we are sophisticated and refined sinners, we're not. We're just crude sinners in the raw, natural sinners. The Ten Commandments put before us God's standards. No man can play fast and loose with the Ten Commandments and get by with it. On Blackwell Island, there is a graveyard for criminals. On one grave was a marker which read this: Here lies the fragments of John Smith, who contradicted his Maker, played football with the Ten Commandments, and departed this life at the age of 35. His mother and wife weep for him. Nobody else does. May he rest in peace." So let me ask you today, who's the God you truly worship? I mean, I'm not asking a theological question. You understand that? I'm asking this: on a daily basis, in the life that you now live, who is the God you worship? Who is the God you think about? Who is the God you sacrifice for? Who is the God you talk about? That's what God is concerned about. How we live every day. Because that demonstrates the reality of our Christianity. In our words, our actions, our attitudes, and our relationships. Who is the God you and I worship? Please stand with me. One 10 in your course books, please. 110, A Tender Heart.